Father, in the name of Jesus, as always, we thank you for the entrance of your word, giveth light. Now, Lord, and understanding to the simple. The hour has come, Lord. Glory to God. Mako seri labo shataraba. Lord, glorify thyself in the message of the Lord, and let your people be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, today, this is part of our series on the body ministry. And this is dedicated to every woman that loves the Lord in their hearts, that have been serving the Lord faithfully, but have felt like they were not enough. And I felt like they were second place. Every woman that's been looked down, put down, stepped upon just because they were women. This is for you today. Hallelujah. I'm going to bring this word for us today to share the truth of the word of God. Way it is. Today's lesson, women in Christ, co-laborers in the kingdom. Now, some of you have heard my lessons on the church versus the kingdom. Not really versus, but compared with the kingdom. The church is only a part of the kingdom. Church is not the kingdom. And while we understand certain things that God has set in order in the church, the kingdom supersedes that. The church are agents of change to bring people into the light. But the kingdom rules over all. Hallelujah. Bible says, thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is exalted as head above all. Both riches, honor come from him, and he reigns over all. In his hand is power. His hand is strength. Honor, to give honor and grace to all. And his kingdom reigneth over all. His kingdom reigneth over all. In the beginning, the Lord spoke to the man who was a composite being, man and woman. And he said to them, you know, let them have dominion. Hallelujah. Over all the works of his hands. Both the man and the woman together having dominion. And furthermore, in the next chapter, this was in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28. Furthermore, in the next chapter, we saw that when God breathed into the man, we're told that, you know, he became a living soul, or living spirit. And then later on, you know, as the account goes, the Lord will bring in all the animals looking to Adam, what Adam would call them. But in the meantime, there was no companion found for Adam himself. And so the Lord said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Well, you know, if the man could have done it by himself, the Lord would never have said that. You know, it was never good from the beginning. It's still not good now. You know, so, and the Lord said, look, you know, here's what I'm going to do. The Lord put a deep sleep on him. That's right. You know, that's where anesthesia comes from. And the Lord took a rib from the woman, brought her to him to see what he would say. And he said, well, this is now flesh of my flesh, bone of my bone. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And Eve was the mother of all living. And so from that time on, side by side, hallelujah, glory to God. And you know, in the scriptures concerning, I mean, the apostle Paul, the wisdom that was given to him to bring out certain things. Well, even in one of his writings, in some of his writings, you know, things that people twist. Peter talked about that. He said people twist and wrestle these things because in his writings are hard. They wrestle it sometimes to their own destruction. And yes, he did write some things which are confusing sometimes, seemed contradictory at times. And I'm going to try to set that record straight today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what was in the mind of God when he said, you know, the man shall not be alone? And when he brought the woman to him, what was in his mind? The commandment that he gave, let them. And he talked to both the man and the woman, you know, composite being, let them have dominion. The woman was also part of that dominion that God intended. There is a lesson of a free woman. Hallelujah. In the book of Galatians chapter 4. And I want to talk to the free woman here today. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not talking about women's lib or any of that nonsense. No. I'm talking about a woman that is on fire for the Lord and that is free to serve the Lord. You know, so let's take a look at Galatians chapter 4. And I want to talk about the two kinds of women. That is the bond maid, and there is also the free woman. The bond maid was born after the flesh, we are told. This is Galatians 4:22. But the free woman was by promise. You know, the what was born of the free woman. The children of the bond maid, see, the children of the bond maid was by, you know, something they colluded together. For it is written that Adam had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. He that was of the bond woman was born after the flesh. But he that is of the free woman was by promise. Well, this was an allegory, he said, that these are the two covenants. Well, I say also there has been a kind of bond woman in the church. And there is another kind of free woman in the kingdom. Now, the woman that's kind of like a bond woman in the church, they've been under bondage. You can't do this. You can't do that. You are less than this. And you are less than that. Well, that's kind of a bond maid. You know, the birth, anything that comes out of that system is still, you know, under bondage. But the one that comes from the free woman, hallelujah, was by the promise. And what was the promise? In the last days, saith the Lord, hallelujah, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters will receive the same. Hallelujah. Sons, daughters, they will receive the same. There is no difference when it comes out to the pouring out of the Spirit of God upon the sons of God. Sons, they are not gender. It's a means an offspring. Hallelujah. So let's get that right. Upon my handmaids in those days, servants and handmaids, will I pour out of my spirit. Hallelujah. So the Lord, he had this promise in his mind. And even despite the fall, well, we know the fall. See, this is a blame that we have put on the womankind from the beginning. For Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Well, so we put that blame. In fact, Adam put the blame smack down on the woman. The woman whom you gave to me, she did this. So we blame the woman from the beginning. And indeed, she did it. But ladies and gentlemen, behold, the Lord also chose the woman to bring forth the seed that will crush the head of the devil. See, because, you know, where there was death, the Lord will bring forth redemption by life. Hallelujah. There was death in the woman because of disobedience. But yet, the Lord will turn that around and use the very seed of the woman to bring forth the life that will turn all things around. Genesis 3 and 15. You know, the Lord said, the seed of the woman, not the seed of the man. The woman is the one that caused the problem. And through her also will come the redemption and the solution. Hallelujah. You know, so we've seen that from the beginning. Now, I want to say to every woman that's on this platform right now, or those that may listen in, behold, saith the Lord, thou art called a woman after God's heart, as long as the fire of the Lord and his zeal is in your heart. And as long as you love the Lord thy God with all your heart, you know, thou art called an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ. Well, let's talk about the heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. What does that really mean? Well, you know, let's see what the scripture says in a couple of different verses. We're going to read a few verses from Galatians 3, a few verses from Romans chapter 8. Let's take a look at Galatians 3, for instance, and see what the Lord has to say, you know, for women or men. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, for there is neither, well, let me read it again from verse 26, actually. For ye are all, now that's all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You are all the children, whether you are male, whether you are female, you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, whether you are a man or a woman, you have put on Christ. And there is neither Jew nor Greek. The Lord has broken down the wall of partition. There is neither bond nor free. Well, the bond woman, the free woman, God bringing it all together. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ's, hallelujah, whether male or female, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Can you say praise the Lord? That's right. That's right. Women also being Abraham's seed according to the promise. Neither male nor female. Romans chapter 8, verses 16 and 17. And this message is to liberate the Spirit of God. Free the fire in the woman that loves the Lord to do and come into their fullness and be functioning as God wants it in the body of Christ. Remember, we've been talking about the body ministry coming into the full blossoming, of the body of Christ. Well, what is the part that the woman will play in all of that? So we want to make sure we set the record straight, you know, lest the devil get advantage of us and put the woman out of commission, you know, render them useless because they think less of themselves, you know, and so forth. Or even when they are thinking a bit well according to the word of God, they still struggle because of tradition and things like that. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, are you a child of God? You are a woman, you're listening to me today. Are you a child of God? Now, if you are children, then you are heirs, whether you are man or woman. And if you are heirs, then you are a heir of God and joint heirs with Christ. Hallelujah. So if you, whether you are a man, if you are in Christ, you are joint heirs with him. Whether you are a woman, if you are in Christ, you are joint heirs with him. Now, I'm going to talk about some things which have been a lot of confusion over the years, centuries, you know, decades and so forth, you know, but here is the truth of the word of God. These things that I'm reading to you straight out of the Word of God. Now, I will also read to you a couple of, you know, scriptures that cause people to think one way or the other. But before we get to that, let me lay this foundation that the things that God promises, there is not a single promise in this Bible that God promised for man that he didn't promise for the woman that is in Christ. In fact, a woman that loves the Lord has a heart of gold. That's right. A woman loves the Lord. It's a heart of gold. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to show you some of them in the scriptures. You know, the powerful roles they played. And the real beauty in the woman is the Spirit of God that is in them. The Spirit of God in the heart of a woman is something more than gold. Just like it is for a man. The Spirit of God in the heart of a man. That song says, well, I say today, the Spirit of God in the heart of a woman turns that heart into a heart of gold. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look around you. Look even in this room. See how many women are here with respect to the numbers of men. You see, there is a powerful force that the Lord has put for the women in what they need to do. And we want to have a complete understanding of these things. Now, I want to bring this so that the women also know that there is an attempt on the lives, your spiritual walk, to crush you down. It is contained in Isaiah, or it is rather revealed in Isaiah chapter 52 and verses 1 and 2. And I love that second verse especially. You know, I have used it multiple times to encourage people, as I say it, to snap out of it. But let me read it to you today, straight out of the Word of God. You know, Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 1 and 2. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Now shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Many people don't know this, but the Lord has always referred to that relationship that he had with his people, first Israel, as though they were a woman. He would say, look, I am married to you and you've gone in whoredom against me. I always refer to the nation of Israel as though they were a woman married to God. And so sometimes, many times you see, you know, why then is not the daughter of my people healed? Why then are the daughter of my people, you know, still having bands around their neck? Lose yourself from the bands around their neck. Oh, captive daughter of Zion. God always referred to them like that in the feminine language, if you will, because there is a reason for it. And in fact, the whole relationship between Christ and the church, you know, Paul described it best. He said, look, all these things I'm telling you in Galatians chapter 5, talking about, I said, but you know, I'm speaking about Christ and the church, even though I'm speaking about a man and woman. So there is something that Jesus put out there, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to show us the relationship between Christ and the church. It's like the relationship between the man and the woman. And God used that church in that woman sense. You know, sometimes we see and talk about the sons of God. And I'm giving the lesson here that individually they are called sons, whether male or female. But collectively they are called the bride. That's exactly right. You know, so when you come into union with Christ individually and you make it to that most holy place, are called a son of God, the fullness of Christ upon you. But when he puts all the sons of God together, he actually refers to them as the bride, which is a female term, if you will. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the bands that are being around the necks of our women need to come off. Glory to God. Shake thyself from the dust. Loose thyself from the bands around your neck, O captive daughter of Zion. Now, the good news is we're in the kingdom now. The good news is this is not a church setting right here. Praise the Lord. And I'll come to that, the distinction, in a minute. You know, so yes, there are some things that God has put in place in the church, you know, and I believe with all my heart that God has ordained the, you know, role of church leadership for men. I believe that. But in the kingdom, which we're not talking about the church here, when we are in the kingdom, it's all the same, you know. So it's just like, you know, Stephen and Philip and five others who are told, well, we can't serve tables. You guys will be the ones serving tables. And they did. But at the same time, they went out into the marketplace, into the cities, into Samaria, turned the whole place upside down. They operated in the kingdom outside of the defines of the church. Hallelujah. In the church, we are going to do certain things, and you're going to be deacons and so on and so forth. That's all you're going to be. We got to do this. You got to do that. But they would not be denied of their role, you know, in the kingdom. Now, if you're in the kingdom of God, you know, God has called you into this kingdom to have dominion, same as men, if you're a woman. Praise the Lord. Now, let me read to you some things here about a woman that feareth the Lord. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 30. A woman that feareth the Lord. Now, this is versus the women of the world today that are trying to, you know, overthrow the role of man. I'm not talking about that at all. And that's not my lesson today. And let nobody say it is. That is misplaced. That is wrong. That is still inaccurate. You know, God has order that he placed even in the body of Christ. That is order. You know, but I'm talking about the role of women in that kingdom. Now, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. And these are the things that women try to use to, you know, run over men. Their beauty, their body, and all of these things. Well, that's not a woman that feareth the Lord. A woman that feareth the Lord, first of all, she will, you know, portray her body with sobriety. That's right. And shamefacedness. You know, she will not be loud and she will not be obnoxious. You know, one woman called Jezebel, she was loud, obnoxious. She painted her face all over the place, stuck her head down and said, throw her down from the wall, you know, and all of that. And the dogs licked up her blood. Now, that's not a woman that feared the Lord. A woman that feared the Lord, she's got a heart of gold, and she shall be praised. Hallelujah. But give her the fruit of her hands. Let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, I want to give honor and praise to the women of God that have been on this platform that have been doing marvelously. I mean, most of the time, even when I ask for reactions, it's from these powerful women of God. And they've been coming here and giving us downloads. You know, that just shows you what the Lord is doing. Now, remember, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, no difference. Your servants and your handmaidens, no difference. Male and female, no difference. you know, the gifts and spirit of God and the callings of God that we've been doing for the last few days, there's no difference. Now, I'm not talking about church leadership. You know, this is where people get it wrong. You know, installing the women in leadership over men when the men are there. You know, that's where people get it wrong. You know, but I tell you something. When you are in the kingdom, women can do any of these things. Women can preach. Women can prophesy. In fact, I'm going to read you some stories in the Bible. The first person that was called a prophet in the Bible was a woman. Her name was Miriam in the book of Exodus chapter 15 and verse 20. The Bible said that she was a prophetess, you know, hallelujah. At that time, even Moses himself was not necessarily referred to as a prophet. Well, the Lord did tell Moses that Aaron would be a prophet to Pharaoh. That Moses will be like God. Aaron will be like his mouthpiece, which means prophet. But that's to Pharaoh, not among the body of Christ. The body of Christ, this woman was one of those, well, at least in the among the children. You know, Aaron was not supposed necessarily to be a prophet to the children of Israel. He was supposed to be a prophet to Pharaoh. But this woman was called a prophet nonetheless. Well, they used the term prophetess only because she was a woman. You could have said prophet. Same thing. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam said, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider hath he thrown down in the sea." And so on and so forth. And all the song that Miriam sang, which people still call today the Song of Miriam, she was not only singing it to the women, she was leading the women's praise team, so to speak, but they were singing it to the entire congregation. A prophet is not just a prophet to women, a prophet to the entire congregation. This woman was called a prophetess, not just among women, but she was a prophetess in the camp. Now, all of you know the story of Deborah in Judges chapter 4 and verse 5. You know, it's too long, you know, a text to read, but, you know, she was a judge at the time, and she did some incredible things to help bring Israel into order. You know, I'm not going to read that, but I'm going to read you the story of one that is lesser known than Miriam, lesser known than Deborah. You know, I'm going to read it to you in 2 Kings chapter 22 and also 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I mean, these two chapters have the same story and I'm going to read to you today. Now, Josiah, we are told, was 8 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. We're told who his mother was and so on and so forth. Well, there was a time when someone went and found the book of the law and they read it before this young king and he rent his clothes. And he said, "Wow, we're not doing all these things that are written here. Our fathers did not do these things. So go inquire of the Lord for me so that we can live a straight life before him." So the king, in verse 12, commanded Hilkiah, the priest, take notice, and Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, and these people were the scribes, he commanded them, both this priest and this scribe, you know, and he took one of the king's servants to say, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me." and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that we have found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened to the words of this book to do according to all that is written therein concerning us. So he sent them for to go and inquire from the Lord. Now, ladies and gentlemen, follow this story and see who they went and inquired from. Now, go and inquire from the Lord, is what the king said. So Hilkiah, the priest, and Ahikam, and Achor, and Shaphan, and Asaiah, went on to Huldah, the prophetess. Now, the priest, the scribes, the king's servant, they all went together to the prophetess to inquire of the Lord. Now, let's see what she actually said. Now, this prophetess called Huldah, that many people don't know too much about, very little is said of her, her husband was actually the keeper of the wardrobe. The roles were switched. You know, she wasn't keeping the wardrobe. Her husband called Shalom, the son of Tikva. His name was Shalom Tikva. He was her husband. He was keeping the wardrobe. Yeah. You know, in their lineage, they kept the wardrobe. But this woman, she was the prophetess. And this woman was the one from whom they went and inquired. And they communed with her. You know, they dwelled in the college. You know, so it was a, you know, place of school of prophets there. You know, and this woman was among them. And she was the one that had the word of the Lord at that time. You know. Nobody else had the word of the Lord. She had it, and her name was Huldah. And so they went unto her and communed with her. And in verse 15, she, this woman Huldah, which many people know very little about, who was the prophet that had the word of the Lord at that time, she spoke unto them and said, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel." That's right. You know, now this woman did not look at their faces. She did not look at whether he was a priest among them. She had the word of the Lord. And he that hath my word must declare my word faithfully. That's it. She wasn't arrogant. She did not vaunt herself up. But she had to deliver the word of God. And she said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place." She began to sound like one of those prophets. She began to sound like Elijah. "I will bring evil upon this place, and I will bring upon evil upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me, they have burned incense to other gods, and they might provoke me to anger with the works of their hands. Wherefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and it shall not be quenched." I mean, this was what the prophets used to say. And this woman is saying exactly the same thing. In the office of sharing the light in the word of God right now. That's what a prophet does. A prophet is the one that has the word of God. You know, so, and she brought it. And she said, you know, but unto, you know, she said, "Look, because they are forsaking me, they are provoking me to anger, you know, with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah that sent you to inquire of the Lord, you will say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words that you have heard, because your heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, and as, you know, when thou hearest what I speak against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you have rent your clothes, you have put ashes on your head, you have wept before me, saith the Lord, I also have heard it." Now, all these words are coming from the mouth of a woman, ladies and gentlemen. You know, "Behold, therefore, I will gather you unto your fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. And I shall not see any of the evil that I will bring upon this place. And he brought the word to the king again. You can read the same story in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 from verses 20 to 28. But I'm not going to read it. It's the same thing. It's in two places recorded. Some things are recorded in the Kings and Chronicles, you know, two different places. Now, this woman also was there to guide this young boy throughout his life. And he was one of the good kings that did right in the sight of the Lord. And this was a woman that had the word of the Lord in those days. Now, people have known about Deborah, who was a judge and helped Israel to win some things and do some things and so forth. But people have little thought that this was a woman that had the word of the Lord, to which even the priest went to her to go and inquire of her. Now, if that's not enough, I can rest my case right there. But I'm not going to rest my case yet. You know, so people say, well, you know, that was then, but this is now. But even more so, the value of women in the kingdom. You know, we've read, you know, the free woman in Galatians chapter 4. Well, let's see some things. I mean, people that were around the Christ. I'm going to read some scripture later that, you know, caused a lot of trouble. But first, let me set this background. You know, in the ministry of Christ, people have said, well, why didn't Jesus, you know, call women? Well, he could not have. You know, because he's not calling, he was creating what would be the church leadership. These were the apostles. Not have called women into that. You know, some women take it upon themselves to become all kinds of things today. You know, Jesus didn't call them into that place. However, Jesus acknowledged their ministry and they were with him. They ministered to him. They ministered around him. In the book of Matthew chapter 27, verses 55 and 56, we see that even when Jesus was being crucified and all of that stuff going on around him, you know, there were these men, these women that were always with him. And we, you know, we don't know any stories that any of these women actually denied the Lord, you know, like Peter with his big mouth did. But these women, the Bible says, look, and the many women that were there, beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, even all those times. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph. Well, Mary the mother of Jesus even. And the mother of Zebedee's children, they were there, you know, and they were with him. These were people that ministered unto him, you know, and the scripture acknowledges them. Women received the Holy Ghost just the same as men. Praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, when Jesus had told them, you know, tarry ye in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and so forth. Well, the Bible says these all continued with one accord. Acts 1, 14. In prayer and supplication with the women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, who also received the Holy Ghost. I always tell the Catholics this thing. Even Mary, that they worship, which they shouldn't, received the Holy Ghost. She was with the women and so forth. And with James and Joseph, his brothers, and all these things and so forth. Now, of course, the leadership was clear. It wasn't a woman that was going to be leading. Where there was Paul, and I mean Peter, James, and I mean all these people. Peter and John and the rest of them. No, it wasn't going to be a woman. It was Peter. That's the one that God appointed. So we cannot break God's laws, you know, in the pursuit of this so-called women's leap. That women's leap is nonsense, you know, but there is a place. Well, it's nonsense in the body of Christ, but there is a place and a part for women in the kingdom. They are the same in the spirit and the things of God. They are the same. They have the same spirit of God. They could be the hand. The man could be the foot. And we already covered that. You can't say just because it is the woman that is the hand, then you have no use of her. You can't say that. The woman might be the hand. The man might be the foot. We don't know the mystery of the body of Christ, but everybody is in there, male or female. At that level, they must do their function. And we cannot put them down and say that, oh, you know, because you're a woman, you're less. You're not less. They were there to be filled with the Holy Ghost just like Peter. They were there to be filled with the Holy Ghost just like everybody else. However, it was Peter and not Mary, the mother of Jesus, that stood up. So, ladies and gentlemen, there is still a pecking order of sorts when you are in the church, you know. But I'm not talking exactly about that today. I'm talking about that kingdom, you know. That's a reason why God didn't put the woman over the man. Whatever reason he had, that was his business. But we see in Acts chapter 2 and verse 17, we see that the women received the Holy Ghost just like everybody else. And Peter would quote this same prophecy of Joel. He would quote the same prophecy, Joel 2:28 and so forth. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Peter will quote the same thing on this day and say, you know, this is what the prophecy of Joel said in verse 16 and 17 of Acts 2. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Together in the same sentence or phrase, he classifies the sons and the daughters together. There's no difference here. Hallelujah. Your young men see visions, older men see dreams, my servants and my handmaids, men and women together, they receive the Holy Spirit. They see the power of the wonders of the world to come. You know, now, Jesus, on the day of his resurrection, in Matthew chapter 28, you can read this story in verses 1 to 10. A woman was the first to behold the risen Christ. And in fact, Jesus actually, you know, sent her to do something. Go tell the apostles that were not believing anything. this woman, let's pick up the story in Matthew chapter 28. You know, on the Sabbath day, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see sepulchre. There was a great earthquake. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and so forth. And then there was his countenance. They saw all of that and they were afraid and so forth. And the angel said to the women, fear ye not. I know you seek the Christ who was crucified. He's not here. He's risen. Come and see the place where he lay. You know, so go quickly and tell, you know, of all of this. You know, he said, go quickly and tell of his disciples these things. And as they went, Jesus met the women and said, all hail, you know, and so forth. And they worshipped him. And he told them, you know, be not afraid and go tell my brethren, you know, that I'll meet them in Galilee and they shall see me there. You know, so this was a story, you know, some of these gospel writers, they had some slightly different rendition, but, you know, they agreed that, you know, it was women that first saw the Lord. And another one wrote it a different way, you know, and Jesus, you know, revealed herself to him, himself to her, and said, look, you know, don't touch me yet, for I have not yet ascended to, you know, my Father, you know, but do this and do the other, you know. So that story is in John chapter 20. Let's read that version. In John chapter 20, let's look at verses 17 or so to 18. This is where Jesus is talking to another woman, praise the Lord, after his resurrection. You know, in fact, let me pick it up from, you know, an earlier verse. Now, the disciples came, they ran away. I mean, they looked, they didn't see anything, then they went away. Okay. And the disciples went away again to their own home. Verse 10. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. Now, remember, the disciples had come there. You know, Simon and John, you know, they didn't find anything. They left. This woman stood right there. And so while she stood there weeping, you know, and see two angels, you know, and so forth. And they said, woman, why are you weeping? I said, well, they've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they have laid him. And then when she turned back, she saw Jesus standing, but he didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus was right in there. And Jesus said unto her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom do you seek? The Lord is always, you know, funny like that, you know, because the Lord knows everything, but just you want to hear from her. And she, supposing him to have been the gardener, said unto him, sir, if you know what has happened to him, let me know so I can come, you know, and so forth. And I will come and take him away. I mean, just see the love that was in her heart for the Lord, for her Lord. This was the woman. And Jesus said unto her, now immediately Jesus mentioned her name, her eyes were opened. Jesus says unto her, Mary. And then she turned and said, ah, Rabboni. Woo-hoo. And she wanted to go and embrace him. And she said, touch me. I have not yet ascended to my Father, but you go and tell my brethren. Hallelujah. And behold, I go and ascend to my God, my Father, your God and your Father. And so, you know, now this was Mary Magdalene. You can think anything of her, but she was the one here that saw the Lord first. And, you know, so many other things about many women in the Bible. You know, now I'm not even going to go into some arguments about some names in the Bible that people thought were either men or women, you know, and so forth. You know, I mean, there's, you know, there's Andronicus, there's Jumia, there's all of these people that Paul referred to. But I am going to tell you, you know, that there was another woman that was also working mightily, you know, with her husband. And Paul was always very appreciative of people that helped him in the ministry. And, you know, this woman, you know, her name was, I mean, we've heard of Priscilla and Aquila. You know, this woman was Priscilla. Her husband was Aquila. And they were the ones that actually helped Apollos. So let's pick up this story in Acts chapter 18. There was a certain Jew named Apollos. This is verse 24 of Acts chapter 18. This Jew named Apollos was born at Alexandria. He was an eloquent man. He was mighty in the scriptures. And he came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And he was fervent in spirit. And spoke and taught mighty things in the Lord. But he knew only the baptism of John. Didn't even know other things. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila, that was the man, and Priscilla, his wife, had heard, they brought him in and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, this woman, walking side by side with her husband, helped this Apollos man. And when this Apollos man left, he was a mightier person because of what Aquila and Priscilla did for him. And he mightily convinced the Jews. And he did all kinds of things mightily after that because of what they did to help him. Now, you all know that the bride is typified as a woman. There are many scriptures else that I want to bring. I'm going to leave that there because I want to cover a couple of scriptures that have caused contention over the centuries. You know, when Paul was writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, instructions to the church, he would say this in verse 34. And this would be a bone of contention, you know, over the years. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. But they are commanded to be under obedience, as also said the Lord. Well, okay. This is in the scripture, so we can't throw it away. And if they will learn anything, you know, so why are you talking about speaking and talking about learning? If you learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for the women to speak in the church. Well, what was he talking about here? He was talking about women asking questions and being unruly in the church. And he's saying, look, ask your husband at home. Leave the church business alone. You know, that's what he was talking about here. And he said, look, the word of God, did it come out from you alone? Or are you the one that, you know, if you think you're a prophet or you think yourself a spiritual, acknowledge the things I say. These are the commandments of the Lord. But if you want to be ignorant, go ahead. Be ignorant. So we must acknowledge that these things are in the Lord. And he said, let all things be done decently and in order. So we leave that there, you know, because Paul said it. But this is one scripture, you know, where, you know, I mean, Paul said this and then everybody jumped all over it. This same Paul, he acknowledged, you know, the people that were with him, the women that were with him, and so forth. And this same Paul, I'm going to read to you in a minute, you know, what Paul, you know, said, you know, about the women in Philippians chapter 4, you know, and my dearly beloved, longed after, he wrote to them and so forth, I entreat you, true yoke fellow, and he was writing those who are arguing among themselves, so settle their things, you know, and he said, look, and I entreat thee also through your fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. And there were some women that were with him, labored with him in the gospel. But we didn't go into details of whatever they did here. But they were with him. They labored in the gospel. And he said, look, acknowledge, you know, help them and so forth. And Clement also, and other fellow laborers. So these women are also classed as laborers, you know, whose names are in the book of life. And so these women that helped him, he was acknowledging them. And there are many of them that he mentioned throughout his writings, you know, for the sake of time, I won't go too much into all of those. There is a lesson here that I want to bring out in the book of Timothy, you know. So in Timothy, where Paul is writing about, you know, some things here about let the woman learn in silence and so forth. So let's read this one. You know, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearl or costly array, saying that, look, don't think that your beauty is in all the jewelry that you wear. Your beauty is in the ornament of a golden heart before the Lord. Now, you say these things become women professing godliness, good works. So he goes on to say, you know, let the woman, now listen to this. This is different from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he was referring to the church, you know, and the three women were unruly, asking questions about church administration, which was none of their concern, and said, ask your husband at home, and, you know, and so forth. Now, this in here is talking about the woman. It's not talking about women. So let's read this and let's unpack it. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Now, what are we talking about here? When you say the, and you say the woman, and you say the man, this, ladies and gentlemen, this is not even about the church. This is about husband and wife. You know, I submit to you, people have thought that this was, Paul was not writing about church in this particular place. you know, 1 Corinthians 14, yes. But in this place, no. Let the woman, not let women learn in silence. He said, let the woman, as one woman that he's talking about, don't let the woman be, you know, usurp authority over the man. There's a the man in her life, you know, but let her be in silence. Ladies and gentlemen, Adam was first formed, then Eve. That's husband and wife. That's what he's talking about here. Adam was first formed, and Eve. Women, if you try to boss it over your husband, just like they do here in America, and say the woman is the boss, you already missed the mark. You are not the boss. Because Adam was first formed, and then Eve. And Adam was not the one that was deceived, but the woman was the one that was deceived. Notwithstanding, listen to this. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing. You know, God's not going to let her die. Even though there was this, in sorrow shall you bring forth, God will save her. If they continue. What is they here? This word they is completely out of place. Unless it was talking to the woman and her husband. Because if you're talking to a woman, then you should say, nevertheless, she shall be saved in childbearing if she continues in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. But it doesn't say if she, it says if they. Who is the they that the woman who's trying to have a child, who is the second person that the woman who's trying to have a child will be concerned about here? It is her husband. Ladies and gentlemen, the woman should not usurp authority over her husband. If you are usurp, I don't care whether you are a prophetess, I don't care whether you are a queen, I don't care whether you whatever you are, in your house, the man is the head of the woman. And let me read something else to you and dismiss another myth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you know, the people that say that women should not speak in the church, well, you know, what about this? You know, I would have you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman. Not every man is not the head of every woman. Oh, no, no, no. Men are not the head of women. There's no scripture that teaches that. But there is a particular man and woman in that relationship, like Adam and Eve, and the man and her and his wife, and the wife and her husband. That's called the woman. That's right. Christ is the head of notice. I mean, Paul is very versed in grammar. He's studying the school of one Gamaliel. He's not somebody that doesn't know grammar here. So he knows what he's writing about. When Paul is saying here, I would have you know that the head of every man, he didn't say the head of the man. He would say that in another place. But here he's saying the head of every man is Christ. But he drops down and uses the when he's talking about a woman. The head of the woman is the man. Not the head of a man. A woman is every man. There's no such thing. You know, a man does not have, you know, he's not the head of every woman just because he's a man. He's the head of his wife, you know. And so the wife should reverence her husband, not every man. She doesn't have to obey every man. She has to obey her husband, you know. And the head of Christ is God. Now, every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. And every woman praying or prophesying. So he's going to say the same roles here. A man can pray and prophesy. So can a woman pray and prophesy. Well, really? Absolutely. If the woman is going to prophesy, who will she be prophesying to? In her closet? If she's not allowed to speak in the church and she's able to prophesy, will she be in her closet prophesying to herself? What good is that prophecy? You know, because the prophecy is supposed to be for exhortation, for, you know, encouragement, for comfort, and so on. You know, if that's what it is, and she's doing it in her closet because she's not entitled to speak in the church, then that gift is useless. So if she is prophesying, You know, she's not in her closet doing it. It's a woman that prayeth or prophesieth, having her head uncovered. That's another story. Dishonoreth her head. Her head, which is her husband, is the one she's dishonoring, you know, and so forth. You know, so it goes on to say some other things about, you know, about the man being the image and glory of God and the woman being the glory of the man. Women are not the glory of men, ladies and gentlemen. Women are not the glory of men. But the woman is the glory of the man. My wife is my glory. My wife is not the glory of every man. Neither is every woman the glory of every other man. The glory of your husband. That's why I used the there. The man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man, and so on and so forth. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me throw away another myth here. When people have said that the man is the head of the home, people say that. They say that in the church. You know, that is unscriptural. Jesus is the head of the home. Hallelujah. The man is the head of the woman. That's right. But Jesus is the head of the man, and that's the pecking order. And that puts Jesus as the head of the home, because the home is made of man and woman and children. You know, so man is not the head of the home. Newsflash for men who've always thought they are the head of the home. No. Bible never said man is the head of the home. You are the head of the woman, and Christ is your head. So that makes Christ the head of the home, because the home consists of the man, his wife, and their children. So that's the pecking order, ladies and gentlemen. But man is not the head of the home. Now, those of you have been saying that, correct yourself. The man is the head of the woman. There's one the woman in his life. You know, and a woman should submit to the man. There's also one the man in her life. Now, are there other examples in the Bible? Of course, you know, but I'll leave that to people who want to share, you know, because I want to close this down, and I'm going to give you the summary of the things that I've said. But before I do, let me remind you that in Acts chapter 21 and verse 9, there was this man called Philip that had four daughters who also did prophesy. But who did they prophesy to if they're not allowed to speak in the church? Let me just, you know, let's try to argue that and see who did they prophesy to. Well, let's read it from here. After we finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais. And the brethren abode with them one day. Acts 21 and verse 7. And on the next day, we that were of Paul's company, this is Luke writing, we came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist. This was the same Philip that went down to Samaria, you know, and who was one of the seven. Remember, he was one of the seven that was appointed to serve tables, you know, and we abode with him there. And this same man had four daughters. They were virgins. They were not married. Which did prophesy. Who were they prophesying to? Let me submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, they were not prophesying in their closet. They were prophesying to the church and the fellowship. Otherwise, if they were prophesying in the closet, it meant nothing. The gifts of God, the callings of God that we talked about a couple of days ago, they are for both men and women. This lady called Huldah that I read of you in 2 Kings 22 and 2 Chronicles 34, this woman was a prophet. They called her prophetess because she was a woman. Prophet to not only the king, but also even to the priest. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come to that level in the kingdom, the word of the Lord is in your mouth. You are the prophet. I don't care whether it's a priest that is standing in front of you. Give the word. Now, if you are arrogant in giving the word, whether you are man or woman, you are condemned nonetheless, because God resists the proud. If a woman rises up in arrogance and say, well, you know, this is what we have been told now to do this and that, then you already missed the mark. And if a man does the same thing, he has missed the mark as well. But, you know, the Lord wants you to set your faces as flint against the accusations of the devil and the bands that they have put around your neck. You should lose yourself from the bands around your neck, and you should flourish in the kingdom. And we need, the, you know, and you notice that women are, you know, charged up these days with the power of Holy Spirit. They are intercessors. They are prayer warriors. They are powerful. You see this, even this platform, see all the women that are here, powerful women of God. Let me encourage you to not let your walk be diminished. Hallelujah. But don't do it in pride. You know, I'm not here to fuel the women's lib, you know, which I oppose. I'm not here to give pride to any woman's heart, which thing God hates. I am here to speak the word of God. And let me ask you this question too. Did you know that Moses wrote a lot of things which God commanded him to write? Did you know that? How many of you know that? I'm sure you do. But did you know that one day when Jesus came, he said, well, you have heard of them of old, such and such and such. But now I say unto you, well, Moses gave you a bill of divorcement because of the hardness of your heart, and so on and so forth. And Jesus threw some of those things away and said some other new thing. Well, who knows if Jesus were to come now, what he would say about some things that we have held in our tradition. Those were the traditions. You know, Jesus said, look, those are traditions. In the beginning, it was not so. God intended for them to be together. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. And they should not be separated, you know, and so on. But your traditions taught you these things. And God allowed it because of the hardness of your heart. Well, and Jesus came and threw it away. Hallelujah. Who knows? Maybe this tradition of let your women keep silence in the churches, you know, let them learn from home. All these things that we've heard that was going on in the Corinthian church at the time. And, you know, Paul was trying to set it straight. I mean, we've carried it into the church and so forth. Who knows? Maybe if Jesus were to come now, maybe he'd say, look, because of the hardness of your hearts, and because of the, you know, pride in the women's hearts and so forth, now Paul put them in their place. But from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, the man and the woman were to be together in dominion. Glory to God. Maybe Christ will say that now, if he's here. From the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, and I speak to you by permission of the Holy Spirit, because I prayed about this. Can I say this? Can I say this? And if I can't say this, then don't let me say it. You know, but the Lord gave me go ahead. Because I need to clear this thing and say it so that everybody knows that from the beginning, it was not so. From the beginning, the man and the woman were side by side. God didn't take the bone from his head. Neither did he take it from his feet. Took it from his side. Close to his heart, too, people have said. You know, and by side by side. And I thank God. I have my own personal testimony. This is not about me. You've noticed I've not preached about myself at all. I've spoken for an hour. And I've not preached about myself. However, I thank God that God gave me a woman that stood by my side from the beginning. She never tried to be my head. And I never tried to put her under my feet. Side by side. We've been doing this ministry for 50 years. Ladies and gentlemen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want to encourage women, support your husbands. Don't try to boss it over your husband. That's never going to work. That's a disaster in the making. You know, that's not going to work. And men, do not put your wives down. Christ never put the church under his feet. What did he do? He elevated us to his side. So we are seated together in heavenly places in Christ. And Christ said, look, you are joint heirs with me. What I have, you have. And where I am, you will be also. And I pray the Father for you that you'll be with me where I am. And if you overcome, you will sit with me in my throne. Even as I overcame and I sat with my Father in his throne. This is what Christ did for the church. Elevate the woman. who is the church, to his side and to his equal. Hallelujah. Now, the woman, just like Christ, should not grab at anything, because Philippians 2 tells us that Christ, even though he was equal with God, did not grab at anything. He humbled himself. So women, this message is not to make you grab at anything, but to make you humble yourself. When you humble yourself, even though God has made you equal, don't grab at equality with the man. Jesus was equal with God, but he didn't grab at it. He humbled himself. So likewise, women, don't grab at anything. Humble yourself. But I'm telling you that you are loaded with the power of the Holy Spirit, just like the man. And if the man can cast out devils, you can cast out devils just the same. If the woman can prophesy, you can prophesy just the same. If the woman can hear the word, the man can hear the word of the Lord, you can hear the word of the Lord just the same. If the woman, man can heal the sick, you can heal the sick just the same. This sign shall follow them that believe. He didn't say this sign shall follow the men that believe. No. This sign shall follow all that believe, whether they are man or woman. There is no male nor female when it comes to walking in their ministry. In the house, there is male and female, ladies and gentlemen. The man is the head of the woman. The woman can never be the head of the man. When you try that, the house will crumble. But that's not God's pattern, and it will not work. And when the man himself does not realize that in that pecking order, Christ is his head, and he's always trying to boss the woman around as I'm the head of the home, that home will also crumble. You know, so we are warned that in honor, you should honor one another. You know, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. There's times when the man has to submit to the woman. You know, some woman department, and the man has to let her dance. You know, she wants to do that. Great. Do it. That's what God did when he brought something to Adam. Say, what are you going to do? Say, fine, do it. You know, sometimes the man said, look, what are we going to do here, honey? And she said, this is fine. Do it. You know, now she has not usurped in that case. The man has given her the go ahead. But the woman cannot usurp authority over the man. The moment the woman says, I don't care what my husband says. Well, you already lost it. You know, if you are in the kingdom, a kingdom marriage, you must care what your husband says. And what he says goes. But the man himself, you know, he's never going to say, I am the head of the woman. You know, he's just going to listen to his wife and say, hey, honey, what do you think we should do? And the woman says, fine, let's do it. You know, because in honor, submitting to one another, in honor, preferring one another. But when there is a pecking order, the pecking order is Christ as the head of the man as the head of the woman. And together, the man and the woman, they are the parents of the children. But together, the man and the woman are headed above the man by Christ. Christ is the head of the home. The man is not the head of the home, but the head of the woman. And ladies and gentlemen, those of you who are of the free woman, this message is to you today. You are not of the bond woman. That the church say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do the other. Well, maybe in the church. Or maybe they have a right. They have a scripture to stand on. So I'll leave that alone. I'm not fighting the church. However, in the kingdom, which is necessarily not the same as the church, in the confines of the kingdom, men and women, we are all made kings and priests. There's no such thing as queens and priestesses. There's no such thing. All of us are made kings and priests, not queens and priestesses. No, all of us, whether male and female, will be kings. All of us will be called also priests. Even the woman that loves the Lord, she is called a heart of gold. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. And I hope and pray that this has been a blessing to you. And, we're not contending anything here. Just like Paul said, let me say it also this way. If any man seem to be contentious, well, let him be contentious. We have no such custom. I have never been contentious in my life about anything. I just preach the word of God the way I know how. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not I'm not preaching this on a whim. This is, you know, something deep in my heart that I studied, you know, and I know to be true. And we're encouraging women to step up in the things of the spirit. Don't step down, step up, but don't step on your husband. Don't step on church leadership, but step up in the kingdom. Have you now understood these things, ladies and gentlemen? Let me leave it there. That's our lesson for today. This has been part of the series that we've been teaching on kingdom, on the body of Christ, how we function and how the hand and the foot, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the ears, all of those, they are all the same body. They have different functions. A man also has his function, a place in the body. Likewise, the women. Women are not to be counted out, you know. And so shake thyself from the bands around your neck, thou captive daughter of Zion. You notice that he didn't say that for the men, because they're always trying to put the women down, you know. So lose yourself from the bands around your neck. In fact, one day Jesus said to a woman, "Woman, thou art loosed from this thy infirmity." Ladies and gentlemen, all the women that are in this room, women, you especially, this day I say unto you, thou art loosed from the bands around your neck. And the things have been trying to hold you back, you are loosed this day to serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Delivered to serve the Lord. Glory to God. And be not like Eve, you know, that, you know, went outside of the confines of the pecking order. Should have been listening to her husband, not to some other man or some other thing, and he wouldn't have been in this trouble today. You listen to your husband. Praise the Lord. And we support one another. We build up each other. We don't tear anyone down. We build them up. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus for every woman that's in this room and for every man hearing as well, that we understand these things. And I will also give account when I stand before the Lord for these things that I have spoken here today. And I encourage everybody to search these scriptures to see whether these things be so that I have spoken unto you today. Now, Father, I lift up our women here. Many of them have the Spirit of God powerfully upon them. But sometimes it's a struggle in their hearts of how far can they go and so on. Lord, I pray that they will understand today, you know, that they should stir up the gift that is in them, and they should loose the bands that are around thy neck. And I say unto them today, woman, thou art loosed from the bands around your neck. Loosed to serve the Lord. Loosed also to serve your husband. Never try to go above him. You know, and I say to the men also, let's honor the women, you know, put them in their position as side by side, not below, not beneath, not lesser, not a second citizen. Second class citizen. It's no such thing. Women are joint heirs with the men in the kingdom. Father, we thank you. We know there's a powerful revival that is breaking forth, and it is necessary for us to say these things so that men and women together will be in position to receive that fire that is now being released in Jesus' name through the Holy Ghost into the body of Christ, that we may go out in the kingdom and demonstrate the fullness of Christ, both from men and women, all the same, coming each one of us into the measure of the fullness of the stature of Christ. All those promises, they are for men, they are also for women. Every promise in this Bible of coming into the fullness of Christ, of coming into the image of Christ, all these things we've been teaching for months on this platform, they are for men, but they are also for women, just the same. Thank you, Father. We give you glory and give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.